In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes the events of the Bible feel very remote to me. I have never been to Egypt. I have never seen God in a pillar of cloud. I have never seen the water split and people walk across on dry land. Except this week I did. Have you been watching the news about these hurricanes, Harvey and Irma? Those were some amazing storms, and they did some amazing things. Hurricanes generate lots of wind in a particular spiral pattern, and that wind pushes around massive amounts of water. I saw photos of a couple manatees stranded in the mud in Sarasota, Florida, because the warm, shallow waters where they had been swimming had been pushed away. I saw a photo from Long Island in the Bahamas, with all the water pushed far out to sea, out of sight of the normal shoreline. All you could see was dry sand. I watched a video of people and their dogs playing in Tampa Bay. Not in the city, in Tampa Bay. There was no water there, it was all mudflats. Tampa Bay had become Tampa Meadow. This phenomenon is called storm surge. The water gets pushed around and piled up someplace, only to return once the hurricane has moved on. Officials in Tampa Bay were urging people to get out of the bay because that water was on its way back, and it would refill the bay quickly and violently. Listen. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. At dawn, the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. I grew up reading this story. This is the central story of the Hebrew Bible. Of all the great things that God did, of all the times and the ways that God expressed God's love for God's people, this is the story that Israel held on to as emblematic of who they are and who God is. This is the story they refer to throughout Scripture, a defining moment of self-understanding. So this story is layered with lots of theological and emotional content. But what do you think was the experience of those Israelites that night? As we look back through the chapters immediately preceding today's reading, we can see what the Israelites were experiencing. They had stayed up all night packing and preparing to flee from a racist regime that was bent on genocide and ethnic cleansing. Their doors were all marked with blood. The people fled from their homes, the only homes that they had known for many generations. They were now refugees. They found themselves in the desert, without resources or destination, or even a clear path forward. Then, things got worse. Egypt sent out an army in hot pursuit. A tornado sprang up and pinned everyone to the ground. And then came the hurricane, winds blowing all night, upsetting the children and the livestock, carrying away anything that wasn't securely fastened to the people's bundles. The storm surge piled up the waters, and the people ran across that dangerous plain, with the waters poised to return at any moment, and the Egyptian chariots rumbling behind them. Can you imagine the terror of that dark night in Israel's life? The hand of God was not looking very friendly at this point. Have you ever had an encounter with the extremities of life like this? I look around, and I know that most of you have. As we look inside and we consider our own experiences of joy and tragedy, we too have had these low times when evil seemed especially present, when we felt helpless, buffeted about by the world that was utterly beyond our control. What do we do with experiences like that? There are two basic responses to evil in the world, to trauma in our lives, and one of those responses is based on fear. Earlier in the same chapter from Exodus, from which we read this morning, we find this. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt?" As we encounter trauma, and all change is traumatic, one of the most natural reactions for us is to look back at what came before, to the familiar. Maybe it was a painful familiar, but at least it was my painful familiar. A bottle, an abusive spouse, a job that is killing our body or poisoning our spirit. We fear the unknown, and so we cling to the familiar. And then, on top of these things, come the storms and hurricanes of life, threatening what little equilibrium we had and tossing our lives about into disarray. Maybe we're talking about illness or financial upheaval, changes in our family dynamics, disappointing election results, or, like the residents of the Gulf Coast in recent weeks, actual storms. We can respond to all these storms of life with resigned cynicism, wallowing in hopelessness. We can ask, with the Israelites, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Were things not bad enough before?" Or we might resort to magical thinking, waiting for things to go my way so that I can finally be happy. These are common responses to tragedy, and they give the final word to whatever circumstance happens to be at play in my life at any given moment. These are the response of fear. But as we worship and bring our concerns before God in prayer, like we're doing this morning, there is opened to us a second way to encounter trauma. That is the avenue of faith. Faith opens up to us a new understanding of the world. Faith does not ignore evil. Faith recognizes evil in the world. Sin, tragedy, calamity, natural disasters. But faith is the capacity to remember that even in the midst of the hurricane, there is a bigger truth, a bigger story. Faith is to remember that while evil can touch us, evil cannot break that image of God that we each bear inside. Faith is not about wallowing in loss or waiting for things to go my way, but about seeing what God is doing here and now and how we are being transformed by it. Faith gives us courage to build new relationships, even as we mourn the loss or change of old ones. Faith gives us openness to new ways of being in the world, when shame and failure bring to light the inadequacies of how we've lived before. Faith gives us the humility to let God be even more mighty than we thought. Faith does not ask, who are the winners and who are the losers? Faith does not ask, how can I come out on top? Instead, faith asks the bigger question. What is God doing in this time? Faith keeps us in touch with a bigger perspective and keeps an eye open for God's marvelous activity even in the midst of tragedy. There is evil and loss and change in the world. These things are always with us. But God is bigger than these things. God is constantly turning them around, finding avenues of redemption, and making the world a better place today than it was yesterday. That is what the Israelites did at the Red Sea. They spent one night running in helpless desperation. But they have spent the next 3,000 years reflecting on how God was, after all, present during that time of fear. And God was, in fact, doing God's redemptive work even in the winds of the hurricane. As we worship together week by week, we are practicing the art of noticing, acknowledging, and participating in that redemptive work of God. We are facing the hurricanes in our own lives and learning to say, God is at work even in this. We are crossing dry seabeds at midnight in desperation, going where no sane person has any business putting her feet. We are learning to trust that God is at work in our lives, even and especially in the midst of trauma and tragedy. Living by faith and not by fear is what it means to live in the kingdom of God.